You know, just now we were talking about the Lantern Festival. So what I want you to know is that we cannot view it as an event, okay? It's an opportunity, right? It's an opportunity to share the love of Christ. It's an opportunity to usher people, residents, our relatives, to come to know God in a special way, right? With Fang Zhonghua, most of us don't know who he is, but I think some of our older relatives and the residents may know him, right? So take the opportunity. And opportunity also to fulfill the promise, the goal that we set for ourselves. Remember, we set up to say that this year we will have 153 fishes, right? We said that, right? Well, I last checked. Okay, we are at 99 now. Okay, give the Lord, praise, right? 99 souls have been ushered into the kingdom of God. And if you do the calendaring, September, we got 4 more months. So we've hit in 2/3 of the year, 2/3 of the target. So we've got 1/3 left. And let's believe God that God will just do a great work in our midst to help people know God and to allow the love of God to come into their lives. Amen? Okay. So, I'm going to add to the prayer that Pastor Alvo has prayed, and then we will start our service or our sermon. Lord, we want to thank you, God. We want to thank you because, oh God, when one soul, oh God, enters into the kingdom, the whole heaven rejoices, oh God. And we are just so excited that, Lord, we have been part of your move, oh God, to touch 99 souls, oh God, for your kingdom. And we pray, oh God, that this year, even as we continue, oh God, to create opportunities for people to know you, that, Lord, you will touch the hearts of the people. You will touch the hearts of our friends, our rehabs, our relatives, that, Lord, they will come to know you in a special way and allow us that privilege, oh Father, to be your instrument, that we can, oh Father, be part of your plan, oh God, to bring forth your kingdom into their lives. And right now, Father, even as we enter into the next part of the service, the sermon, we pray, oh God, that you prepare our hearts, that, Lord, our hearts will be good soil. Lord, speak to us, and may we be transformed by the preaching of your word. We thank you and praise you, Lord. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Okay, so you see, while I was preparing for this sermon, I came across the sermon that I prepared 6 years ago. And I felt convicted that we should revisit this to talk about our young people, to talk about the faith of our young people. And that's why I prepared this sermon entitled, Get Serious to Fight for Our Younger Generation. Okay? Get serious to fight for our younger generation. But I've got requests. I've got one request. I think because of the word serious there, first service, very, very serious. Okay? So it's difficult to preach to them. So can you turn around, turn to the one next to you and say, don't be so serious. Okay, can laugh, okay? So you can laugh at yourself, you can laugh, don't be so serious, okay? So what happened was, I was, 6 years ago, I was at the prayer tower, and I was praying for our youth before the youth service started. I had an impression, and the impression was as though the devil was saying to me that you will not win in the fight for the younger generation. You will not win in the fight for a younger generation. I was stunned, okay? When you receive things like that, or you stand for a while, and then pray harder, of course. But is there truth in this statement, right? Is there truth in this statement? Are we losing the fight in the faith for a younger generation? Or sometimes do we know that there is a fight at all for our the faith of our younger generation? And the world is bombarding our young people with all sorts of things. Life is not easy. I guess it's difficult being a youth or being a young adult these days. Morality issues, LGBTQ, lawlessness, couch as freedom, attack on mental health, many things that our young people need to face. So let me share some examples. My daughter Casey now, studying in Melbourne, in the hostel. So was they when during the orientation she got a pack. Okay, so I was quite surprised with the content inside the pack for orientation. Firstly, there's a book, and the book tells them all the places where they can buy cheap drinks. Okay, around the hostel where they can get the cheapest drinks, and it was party every night. Second thing inside, that this one shocked me a little bit, was 2 condoms. Welcome pack, you know. So as a father, of course, didn't feel very good about it. But then, when I talked to Jermaine, who studied in Singapore, NTU hostel, all that, and I said, hey, the liberal lifestyle, how people live their life, not as conservative as we think also lah. It's happening also in Singapore. Okay? Another experience. 17-year-old girl was lured by the exciting life in comms faculty in Poly. It includes clubbing, drinking, smoking, maybe now even vaping, which is more popular this day, lah, the in thing, right? Her worldly life thrived, but spiritually, of course, she suffered. But she justified it's all right. Because why? The media industry is like that. It's just a reflection of the industry that I'm going in. In fact, it was the lecturer who told her, who told the class, that they should build up their tolerance for alcohol if they want to join the industry. So if we think that the teachers and the lecturers and the schools are going to help you raise morality, morally responsive kids, you'll be in for a surprise. Okay, they are not going to do it for us. The fight for the faith of our young people getting tougher also because of social media, right? Because our young ones are exposed to the social media younger. Instagram, TikTok, all that. Day by day, they are being indoctrinated with the values of the world. Okay, they are done. It's done in a way that is received, it's exciting, it's engaging. So we're losing it to them because they are too busy being indoctrinated to even sit down and listen. Because sermons like this not as exciting like, to them. In any way, they cannot sit through 45 minutes of preaching and because everything is in bite size now. So how do we win the war for the faith of our young people? Lastly, I'll talk about mental health. The study in IMH shows that 1 in 3 are experiencing severe symptoms of depression, anxiety, and stress. I've said that before, and it's true that, and it says that those who spend, young people who spend more than 3 hours a day on social media, or who have experienced cyberbullying, or who are overly concerned about the shape of their body, how they look, and like, they are susceptible. They are more likely to exhibit these symptoms. The battle is real, and our young people are in the middle of all this. So is it true that we cannot win in this fight for the faith of our young people? Is it true that our younger generation will never be serious with God? All this, as all this is happening, I've also observed 3 things, or other things. Okay? So these are more encouraging signs that there is hope for our young people. Here's a few examples. One of it is about the youth camp. What I observe, every year, graduating batch from the youth, the 20-year-olds, they will organize the youth camp for that particular year. So this group of 20-year-olds came together to pray and to pray for a theme. The interesting revelation that they got that particular year was from Joshua chapter 5 and 6. And in the interest of time, I will not read. I will just summarize those verses. The Israelites who had left Egypt moved about in the wilderness for about 40 years until all the older men died. This man had disobeyed God And thus God sworn that they will not enter into the promised land. So God raised up their children to take their place, and God commanded Joshua to circumcise the new generation to set them apart before crossing over into the promised land. Upon crossing Jordan, the Lord commanded Joshua to march around the Jericho city with all the armed men. The procession was led by seven priests carrying trumpets in front of the ark. They marched for 6 days, and on the seventh day, they marched around the city for seven times. Then the whole army gave a loud shout, and the walls of the city collapsed. For 6 days, the hundreds and thousands of Israelites marched around the city like fools. It was a test. They could not understand, but they obeyed. Because of their obedience, God worked on their behalf, and the walls of the city came tumbling down with just a loud shout. So this Israelite rushed into the city, fought the enemies, and God granted them the victory. So this youth, this 20-year-olds, right, had this message for the youth camp. They organized a camp with these messages. So number one, our youth are in the promised land, but every youth must decide to get serious with God and be ready to fight. Number two, just as the Israelites circumcised their men before the battle, our youth must also consecrate themselves, be set apart in the preparation. Number three, the battle is spiritual. It can only be won by spiritual means, using spiritual weapons. Our youth must also engage in spiritual warfare. And number four, that God gave the Israelite victory. The youth church must decide to fight before they can experience the victory that God has for them. All right? So with these ideas, this youth, 20-year-olds, came up with the theme, Awaken, Gear Up, Game On. I was very impressed by these 20-year-olds. I was impressed because they were serious about seeking God for a theme, for what the Lord would want to say to their generation of people. And they organized a camp as such to rouse the youth church and to awaken them for battle. All right. Those are some of the pictures of the camp. It's 6 years ago. Some of the people there have grown up maybe in your midst already. So during the camp itself, I joined them, as volunteer. And wow, inside the camp, they didn't cry. But I cried a lot. Okay, but it's true. Everybody was crying at some point. I cried a lot, cried many times. It was embarrassing, but didn't care because God was doing a great work in the lives of our young people. The camp commander challenged the people to take up arms, to fight. Because the battle will be ongoing. Regardless of whether the young ones want to fight or not, the battle will be ongoing. That was what the Lord showed her. So the Holy Spirit was moving throughout the camp. It was awesome. Through camps like this, the Lord showed me that He is for our young people. And if He is for our young people, then who can be against them? Anyway, there's another camp coming. All right, in December, let us pray. Let us rise up and pray that the Lord will encounter them, that the Lord will show Himself great, do a work in the young people's heart to woo them into the kingdom, to get more serious with God. In the recent church camp in Putrajaya, God was moving in the lives of many of our young people, youth as well, as they responded to the altar call. I was doing the Holy Spirit night, right? So on the left, on the right-hand side, there were more youth and young people. And they were coming, they were kneeling, they were asking God to heal them, to touch them. They were surrendering their hearts. It showed me that their hearts are not hardened against God. They are not indifferent. They still want God. And deep inside, they know that God, only God can satisfy them. They need God. And God met them at the point of their need. God ministered to them. Okay, that's another reason why I think, got hope, got chance. Then after camp in July, 40 youth and young adults gathered at the dwelling place. All right? It's the youth, or it's the young people's prayer meeting. Actually, I say it's a young people's prayer meeting, but actually it's just a prayer meeting. Just that the younger people are responding, all right? For 2 hours every Tuesday, these young people gather to pray, all right? Our own prayer meeting, 1 hour, sometimes we punch it already. That's 2 hours, you know. Their stamina better than us. That's why I say there is hope. They gathered to pray. They pray that the Lord will heal their hearts so that they can carry the love of God to touch their generation. They pray for God to come and be the Lord of our church, to lead our church, to touch our church. They pray for Singapore to turn Godward. They pray for many things. They pray for the nations, our young people. Right. I was surprised so many came because why? July, school started already. Okay? I must thank some of you parents for releasing the kids. Lah. Okay? Although I know that lah, most of you are thinking, wow, stay outside until 10 o'clock, 11. By the time I reach home, 11 o'clock. But usually never reach home at 11 because after that must have supper. Right? So, come back late. But they prayed. They prayed for themselves. They prayed for their generation. They prayed for the young people. So with all this happening, I say, God, hope. There's a chance because God is moving in our midst. God is moving in the hearts of our young people. And that, with God moving, God for them, then who can be against them? That's why I reject the notion that we will not win in the fight for the faith of our young people. Amen? Can I hear amen? Yeah. So then going back to my time at the prayer tower, I felt the Lord told me that the key to winning the hearts, the key to winning the battle for the faith of our young people is found in Malachi 4, 6. Chapter 4, verse 6 says that if God will turn the hearts of the fathers to the children and the hearts of the children to their fathers. I read again, and he will turn the hearts of the fathers to the children and the hearts of the children to their fathers. So before we can talk about the younger generation, we must first remember that God's heart is oriented towards his children. Okay? Even adult children like us. God's heart is oriented towards us. God wants to turn our hearts to him first. He's waiting for prodigal sons, waiting for prodigal daughters to turn back to him, even though some of us feel that we are unworthy. And after our hearts are turned to Father God, then he wants the older one, people who are seated here, he wants us to turn our hearts towards our children, towards the younger generation. I like how an educator puts it. Every child deserves a champion, an adult who will never give up on them, who understands the power connection and insists that they become the best they can possibly be. I like this quotation. That is what we are supposed to be, a champion for the younger generation to look up upon. With our hearts turned towards the younger generation, we can then be the champion who will never give up on them. We can be the champion who will connect with them, who can understand them so that they can be the best that they can be. They can become the best that they can be. That's what we must do for the younger generation. And it is not, I must say, that it is not just to make sure then that they do well in schools. It is not just that they can succeed in life, have a good life. I must add two words to the quote. And the two words are in Christ. That they can be the best that they can be in Christ. So that they will rise up, our younger generation can rise up to fulfill the spiritual destiny that God has for them. With their faith anchored in Christ. But as the older generation, now a bit of reflection, okay? reflection and examining ourselves. This is where I say, hey, don't be so serious, okay? We can laugh at ourselves one. Huh? When our hearts, the hearts of the children are turned to their fathers, to the older generation, what will they see? Will they see the spiritual champion that they need? When the young graduates, the youth graduate, I said, age 20, 21, they will join us. When they join us at the adult service, okay? When they join us at the adult service, will they see passion for Christ? If some of you would join us at the youth service, now you will see that number one, preacher preach. Members, a lot of them on their phone. Okay? But the amazing thing is, altar call. Wow, they still come forward. Wow. Yeah. So, our young people have mastered the art of this multitasking, you know. Okay? So, still listening. Something still got in. And when they respond, they come forward, right? They will kneel down. They will cry. They will cry out to God. Okay? And a lot of times, it is filled at the altar call area, and they are kneeling. They are crying out to God. So sometimes I wonder, hey, they come down here, they say, wow, give altar call bolang one. Usually, we are a bit more dignified. So we respond where we are. We respond to God differently. I'm just saying that when they come, they may have a cultural shock also, because it's quite different. All right. So when they join us, will they see passion for Christ, the love for God and His people? When they join us at the workplace, will they see any difference? Or we are just like anyone else in this dog-eat-dog world? Must toughen up. That's the reality. That's the real world. Yeah. Will they see a difference? And when they see us at home, will they see faith? Will they see faithfulness also? Our young people. So brothers and sisters, if we want to win the war, we want to win the fight for our younger generation, then it's time. It's time for us to get serious with God. It's time to get serious with God. Okay, the sermon is not a guilt trip. It's not meant to make you feel good or bad. And I pray that through this sermon, we will be awakened to see our current state. And when we are awakened, then we can get serious with God. Because once we get serious with God, we can make a difference. We can make the difference in their life of our young people, whether big or small. And many things that we can do, but I summarize it into 3 points. These 3 points, and so that we can apply. So point number one, get serious for battle. There is a battle ongoing. I've said from the beginning, there is a battle ongoing. Right? Ephesians 6:11 says, put on the full armor of God so that you can take the stand against the devil's scheme. 1 Timothy 6:12, it says, fight the good fight of faith. There is a battle. So as an older generation, we must be conscious that there is a battle ongoing for our own faith and the faith of our younger generation. Not only must we be conscious that there is a battle, we must decide to gear up. We must decide to fight. Because when the young one sees us gearing up and fighting, there is a chance, a better chance that they will follow. The armor, we say put on the armor of God, right? The armor is only useful if we are prepared to fight. If we are not fighting, the armor is cumbersome. All right? It's just a weight, dead weight. Some people say that bearing the name of Christ, all right, bearing the name of Christ as Christian is an extra burden as we go about our daily lives. Would you agree? Right? It's difficult. When we are not conscious for the battle, our armor actually is quite useless. That's the situation with us in Singapore. Because all of us are busy, working hard in the real world, and sometimes we have little energy left for anything. And with the little extra that we have, whatever's remaining, right? We want to keep it for ourselves. We got it for ourselves jealously and for our family. But sometimes I feel as though we think that we would rather have truce, a truce with the enemy, with the devil. So long as the devil don't kind of disturb me, can already, you know, I don't need to fight him. Don't need to pick a fight with the devil, all the world, okay? They leave us alone to live our life good enough already, right? So that's how it feels sometimes. But the reality is, I'm reminding us that the enemy, that's how the enemy gains ground slowly, because we have not been vigilant, because we are not ready to fight. Like the youth in the youth camp, we must decide. We must remember that we are in the promised land. This is not a defeatist type of sermon. We are already in the promised land. God has lots of promise for us and for our young ones. And if we decide to fight, we can win. Furthermore, the Bible says in Matthew 6:33 that if we seek first His kingdom, not our kingdom, we seek His kingdom and His righteousness, then all these things will be given to us as well. All these things include all that we need for life, a godly life. It's time to get serious. It's time to put on the armor, and it's time to take a stand against the scheme of the enemy. How do we fight? How do we engage in warfare? Prayer. We start with prayer. Prayer is one of Ephesians 6:18 says, and pray in the Spirit on all occasion with all kinds of prayer and requests. With this in mind, be alert. Always keep on praying for all the Lord's people. Always keep on praying for the lost people. We must pray regularly for our children, for the younger people. We pray that they will encounter God in a real way. We pray that they will have an intimate relationship with Jesus. And we pray that they can open up their ears and eyes will be open to be able to hear God, to see God, to hear, listen to His voice so that they can choose to obey Him. Pray that they will trust God, that God's ways are higher, better than their desires. Pray. Second point, get serious to impart the right values. I believe that we can make a difference in the lives of the younger generation if we consciously impart godly values into their lives. The Israelites, you see, the Israelites were in the promised land, almost entered, but they did not enter because the older generation disobeyed God. It was a generation that kept on talking about going back to Egypt. Okay, they were slaves. They were ill-treated. But all they could remember was the good old times, right? Working towards a promised future is too hard. So they rather stay with the troubled past. All right? Working towards a good future, you need to work for it. It's too hard. The Lord then had to wait for the generation, this generation, to pass on so that the younger generation would not be influenced negatively. But there were exceptions, okay? There were exceptions. There were two men who were different, Joshua and Caleb. They had a different spirit. They were the fatherly figures who was imparting their values on faith, faithfulness, their belief in God. They were imparting that to the younger generation. How about us? What are we showing our younger generation? What values are we imparting, right? Do we teach them about consecration, service, and sacrifice? Or do we show them they can do whatever they want, right? They should wait to be served, or seeking indulgence, okay? Our children, our young ones are blessed. All right, so what are we imparting to them? Are we showing them what faith looks like? Okay, do not, must qualify once again. I don't sound really, it's not about, it's not me as a person who have gotten it all correct. I've made many mistakes as a leader, as a parent, and wrong modeling for my children as well. Let me share one, and this is a recent one. I was having dinner with my family, And then my daughter at the dinner table was saying, she was very excited and she told me, oh, a young person in church has decided to change his course of study. Okay? From my opinion, a more promising course to a less promising one. All right? And the reason is because he wants to serve God full-time in future. So he's preparing himself. He feels that that's a good way to prepare for it. Then without thinking and instinctively, I said, that's a stupid decision. Elders say, you know. Yeah. He should finish his course first so that he can have more options. Right? Her immediate response was, don't say like that. Lah. After that, no more talk. Yeah. Okay. I think some parents will know what I mean. Lah. Sometimes some of this conversation stopper. Shut. Was I wrong? I just described how I felt. What? My perspectives, my feeling was justifiable. And I got 3 points to justify my actions. Okay? Preacher must always have 3 points. The person, okay, so this is how I justify, the person was young, or is young, and should keep options open by completing the promising course first, right? Because he's young. Sounds reasonable, right? Next, we can serve God in many ways, not only full-time, and we should always position ourselves to succeed both in church or in the kingdom of God and in the market, in the market setting, right? Reasonable, right? Agree with me or not? Yeah. The third point, he should not be so impulsive. He should have spoken to adults like me who can give him proper counsel. Correct or not? How many of you think like me? I drag your la 你们下水啊. Yeah. The person could be our sons and daughter, right? And we are concerned that he may end up disadvantaged, that he may end up regretting in future. Our experience in life tells us that young people should do all they can to have a good start so that they can enjoy a good life in future. True? That's our concern. I still think there's some merits in what I say. Yeah. But you see, my reactions and my strong words have revealed the true values that I hold. Right? My intention, I tell myself, my intention is good. Okay? Not wrong. But what values was I actually transmitting to my daughters? What were my daughters hearing and what are they picking up? See, firstly, as I reflect, I was judgmental and condescending. I portrayed that I know better just because I'm older and therefore they should listen to me. I forgot that my girls are growing up and that I should therefore I should phrase whatever I want to say better in a way that can promote conversation. All right. So that the door will not be shut. With such an attitude, which young person would want to talk to an adult like me? Judgmental, condescending. The young person was prepared to surrender studies, career to serve God. Instead of feeling heartened that our young people are willing to give of themselves, give of their lives to serve God, I called the action stupid. So do I really believe that if we seek God, all right, if we seek the kingdom of God first, that all these things, including our career, will be added unto us? Do I really believe that? I'm saying what most, okay, once again, 拉你们下水, pull you inside water. I'm saying what most Singaporean parents would say. But is there a spiritual truth that I should also be imparting? Third point, the young person probably sought God. I mean, this kind of decision is not impulsive, it's not easy one, okay? He probably has sought God in the process, but I have disregarded any possibility that God might have spoken to him. I jump straight away to use my wisdom, you know, wisdom as an experienced adult, a seasoned HR practitioner, a concerned parent. I would think that listening to God and obeying him should be one of the values as a Christian, one of the most important values that we should embrace as a Christian. But what? That was not what I was transmitting. Okay? That wasn't at all what I was transmitting. Don't get me wrong. I'm not saying that we should just allow the young ones to do whatever they want, that we should agree with every one of their decisions, because they may not be mature enough, and sometimes they may make decisions that are not right. It may be foolish. But I realize that I should not be too quick to judge, because that's the surest way to cut any communication. I realize that in my haste to share my wisdom, right, I've neglected to prioritize spiritual values. And so in theory, discerning the voice of God and obeying him, it should be top priority. But in practice, in action, I demonstrated that to keep our options open and to succeed in life is more important. It's the value I believe in. Right? It's not choosing one or the other. We need both. However, what we say in the first instance, how we say it, will reveal what's in our heart. And even more so, how we live our daily life will show what's truly important, all right? So that we will not be saying one thing. I was still thinking about this while I was worshiping. Actually, the song about he's the reward, he is the prize, and kind of things, I was saying, this one, a lot of time we sing only, whether we truly believe it, whether we act it out or not, actually very difficult. So over there when I was singing, I found it difficult to sing because sermon like this. Okay. The truth is sometimes what we act, how we live, doesn't reflect how we sing. I don't say how we talk, but how we sing. Of young people will catch our values, and it will either lead them closer to God or push them closer to the world. Think about it. So I encourage us, reflect and think. Do we consciously impart godly values to our younger generation? It is not about sitting them down, doing Bible studies. It's also about how we live, showing them how we live our life, and showing them what faith and faithfulness looks like. It is about imparting godly values. Third point, we get serious to be a father to our community. In the quote, Rita Pearson said that every child deserves a young adult who will never give up on them. Every child deserves an adult who will never give up on them. But the reality is, even in our midst, not every young person has an adult to journey with them. Our young people do not have an older person. Not every one of them have an older person to journey with them. Therefore, if we want to win the fight for the faith of our younger generation, we need to build a community with a strong fathering or a strong parenting spirit. And parents, if there are parents here, if you think that, you are your kid's champion, you will soon realize when you get into their teenage years or their young adult years now, that actually you may not be the person with the most influence in their life. They may not listen to you, even if you want to cheer them on. Okay? That's a reality that I've learned through experience. For me, I am very grateful for the leaders and helpers in the youth church and the children's church who took time every week to care for Jermaine and Kasia. Maybe we should give them a round of applause, like our youth leaders, our children's church workers. Yeah, because they are spending time, they are spending energy, and truthfully, a lot of them, they are spending their money. Because to go out with young people who are poor, they always must buy them bubble tea. Yeah, quite expensive. Yeah, but they are doing that for our younger generation. So I've always felt that my investment, so I work with young people, and I always felt that my investment in leading the young adult cell some time back, doing PMC, the premarital counseling, and spending time with youth leaders have paid off. You have yielded good dividends because as my heart is turned towards the younger people, as I invest my time and effort in the young people, they in turn have paid it forward to love young ones, younger ones. Okay, the people in the youth church or young adults, all right? And then they are able to build the faith of the younger ones. So we Stella and I, my wife and I, were approached a few years, many years ago, okay, quite a number of years ago, really, to lead a young adult cell when Jermaine was still in primary school and Kasia was 4 then. She's already 21 this year, so she was 4, okay, then. So then we had to learn how to connect with our young adults. We have to hang out with them, learn their lingo and kind of thing. Then hanging out with young adults means must go for supper. After cell cannot go home, must have supper. Okay? So then the kids, we will just stroller them along to have supper. And then our kids learn to fall asleep in the strollers and we will have roti prata together. All right. Sometimes into wee hours, 1 a.m. and so. But guess what? Actually, the kids very resilient one. Very soon, they love Friday nights, okay? Yeah, Friday night is the best time of the week. We can go out, can drink all the ice Milo, Milo dinosaur and kind of thing. And so they enjoy it. And as they adapt and as they grow with the love of the young people investing in them, well, they grow healthily. They grow strong, up strong as well. Okay, so once one of the couples that spent time or invested time in our kids was Isaac and Mabel, right? They invested time into my girls and showered them with much love, and they have paid it forward. They've paid. They are my cell members, and they've paid it forward by investing time and love for my kids, for Jermaine and Kasia. And now, what's more interesting is that now my girls, grown up already, my girls are giving back by investing time to love Isaac and Mabel's daughters as well. Okay? Annabelle and Esther. All right? We keep paying it forward. We keep paying it forward. And I believe that God will do a great work in the life of Esther and Annabelle, and they will see the breakthrough that they need. Amen. We keep paying it forward to love the next generation. If being cell leaders too difficult, right? Another way to do it, open up your house to host for to be a place where the young people, youth, can hang out. My daughters invited their friends to hang out at our house, and we will welcome them. Sometimes they will cook, other times they will steamboat. I just know that I think over the weekend, the Lloyd's house is a steamboat place, better than Hai Di Lao one. Okay, because you've come and eat for free. yeah. Other times they will just have just talk and play games. Yeah. Then once in a while, when they do all of this, they will invite myself, they invite our kids to interact with them. And that's when the opportunity to share life, to understand them, and maybe pop in a certain value, a certain lesson, they pick up nuggets along the way. But I must say, okay, please resist from giving them lectures. Okay, so if you want to do that, if you sit down one time, lecture 15 minutes, 20 minutes, half an hour, won't come already. Door shut. Your business failed. Okay, yeah. So Yeah, interact with them, spend time with them. And we are thankful for those opportunities. Then that open up for us to share those values with them. Sponsor some food. Create an open, fun environment. They will come. Another way to bless them. Okay? Youth Church these days got lots of activities. Games day. They've got worship nights and many other things. Okay? So, well, if they ask you to volunteer, go support them. Avail yourself. Pray for wisdom and anointing. You need some wisdom and anointing to interact with the young ones. Because actually, quite difficult. But the truth is, all those difficulty, firstly, is in your mind. In our mind. Because we think, I cannot connect and kind of things. Alright? So put aside those barriers. Avail yourself. And the Lord will use you. Okay? If you think you need time, chance to practice, right? They are asking for game masters already. This one, Yong Yang never asked me to sell Koyo, okay? Yeah, sign up for games. Yeah, you have opportunity to interact with the young people, help them. It's an effective way to love our younger generation, and it provides us the opportunity to guide them when needed. I also would like to do a shout out, okay? Maybe the worship team, can I have the worship team, please? I want to do a shout out for some adults here who have volunteered themselves to be mentors for young leaders. Some, all these volunteers, I think 30, 40 of them, right, have volunteered their time, their energy, and their money to help our young leaders grow. Fathering sound a little bit old. Spiritual children. All this jargon maybe sounds a bit old. But these mentors are really the adult champions that our young people need, okay, to journey with them in life. So there are 30 to 40 of them here. Okay, I shall not embarrass them by asking them to stand up. But let's give a round of applause to appreciate them. You are doing a great job. Thank you for investing yourself for our young people. So church, I'm telling you today that our younger generation needs you. God wants us to turn firstly our hearts back to Him. All right? And after turning our hearts back to Him, then God wants us to turn our hearts to the younger generation. Because the key to winning the faith of the younger generation is when older people, fathers, turns our heart back to them. If each one of us is committed just to take care of one young person, if you are committed just to spend that time, invest your energy in the lives of a younger person, every one of them can have an adult champion with them as they journey on. So brothers and sisters, we must help them, all right? To help them realize their potential, we must get serious in our own walk with God first. To win the fight for the younger generation, we must get serious. We must get serious to pray. We must get serious to impart godly values, and we must get serious in wanting to mentor them and to father them. Will you be the champion that they need? Let us get serious. Maybe that's why the first service all very serious. But you see, I believe that we can win this fight if we do it together. We can win this fight if we come together and build the most conducive environment that can allow our young people to thrive, to flourish. And when they make a mistake, they fall down, there's someone to bring them up, to cheer for them, to encourage them. Okay, I want LSBC to be such an environment that we can just, I say maybe moving forward together, winning the younger generation. We need a kampong, we need the whole tribe to come together. Maybe there's a chance. Not there's a chance. I'm sure there's a chance that we will succeed. We will win. Now let us pray. Please close your eyes. Allow the Holy Spirit to speak to you. For some of you, the Lord is asking you to get serious in your own walk with Him. Been distracted. Issues and circumstances in life has caused us to move forward or move further away from God. It's time to come back. It's time to invite God back into your life. Time to ask Him to restore your calling. He spoke to you when you were younger. Yeah. But those things are faded out. Not so important today. It's time to restore. Ask God to restore your calling. And ask God to empower you once again. Empower you so that you can be a model to the next generation. There's another group here. There's some regrets. Because you've said things, done things that may not have built the faith in the life of the younger generation. May even stumble the young ones. Oh, God is a God of the second chance, even the third chance or fourth. If he is able, God is able to work on your behalf. God is able to come in and God is able to do that work and heal that relationship. Cause the cracks in those relationships to be mended. He is able to make the things right. He's able to heal those broken relationships. And I sense the Lord saying that this is not the time to look inward. It's not the time to feel bad, feel guilty, and to dwell in your regrets and guilt. It is time to put all those things aside. It is time to get serious with God. And it is time to make a difference. And we can start by praying. The time is now. Lord Jesus, we thank you for speaking to us today. We ask of you to form convictions in us today to get serious in our fight for the younger generation. And the first thing, Lord, that we need to do is to get serious, okay, in getting back to you, in our own walk with you again. We pray that, Lord, the devil will want to condemn us, the devil will want to remind us of the failures, but Lord, this day, oh God, we just want to surrender that to you. We plead the blood of Jesus, oh God, that will cover all those things, regrets, failures, things we have done or not done. Lord, this day, oh God, as we commit ourselves to you, oh Father, enable us, empower us, oh God, so that we can be a model for our young people to follow. Lord, we pray, oh God, that you will grant us wisdom. You will grant us the anointing to connect with our young people and help us. Let us build the most conducive environment that will allow our young ones to flourish. That our young people's faith can grow and flourish. That they will thrive in the midst of us, oh God. Empower us, Lord, to support the younger generation so that they can become the best that they can be in Christ. Lord, we just commit our younger generation into your hands and we pray that in Jesus' most precious name. Amen. Praise the Lord. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. I'd like to invite you to stand. Okay. That's to settle us. For us to get back the posture that we should take. And now, let's pray for the younger generation. Okay? I use the word younger generation is because there is always somebody younger than you, those who are here. Okay? So even though you are 20-something, that if you have a younger generation that you should be watching out for. So you are 60 or you are 16, you can't be the model. You can't allow God to use you. So right now, what I want you to do is to think of all the young people that you know, or rather ask God to put names, vision, image of people that you should be praying for. And then we will take a minute to pray for them, to declare God's destiny over them, to declare that God will cause them to arise. Okay, so just take a minute. Let's pray for the young people. Please pray. We're going to sing a song, all right? Let this song be a prayer of our hearts. That as we sing, we pray to God, we cry out to God, that God will raise up a chosen generation that will march through this land, that will not focus on our weaknesses, will not focus on the failures, that we will have the victory even as we pray and stand together as we march on. That indeed, collectively as a family, especially for our younger generation, they will then possess the land, they will find the victories that they need, and they will serve the purposes and the destiny of God. Right? Will you lead us?
All of creation.
Lord, we pray that your glory will indeed fall in this place, oh Father, and your glory will touch our younger generation, oh God. We pray, oh Father, that as your glory comes and touch them, oh Father, Lord, you cause your destiny to be placed in their heart, in their spirit, oh God, that each one of them, oh God, will rise up, oh God, to fulfill the destiny that they can have in you. We pray, oh God, that all of us here, oh God, Lord, we would know and remember and be convicted, Lord, that we have a part to play in all of this, oh God. That as your people gather together, as we sing your praise, as we dwell in your presence, as we build a place that is conducive, oh God, for our younger generation to grow, to thrive, oh Father, and to feel in a safe environment, oh Father. Lord, that, oh God, this family, oh God, will end up, oh God, fulfilling your call, your plans, your will, your purposes. So we just want to commit ourselves into your hands. Lord, use us, oh God. Use us within this church environment. Use us at home. Use us at our workplace, oh God. That our eyes, oh God, our eyes, even as your spirit directs us, oh God, will see the younger generation and will have compassion for them and will do all we can to see them succeed, oh God. So we want to commit ourselves, we want to commit our younger generation, and we want to commit our church into your hands. In Jesus' name we pray. And all of God's people say, amen and praise the Lord. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Thank you, Lord.